Now we're live.
Okay, let's pray in and get started. Okay, we're praying in, all you fellowshippers. All right, go ahead.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day, dear Jesus. I thank you for the saints that's come out this evening, dear Lord, and those that are abroad, dear Lord, listening in, dear Jesus, that they've come with hearts to receive, dear Lord, and that Pastor Sandy will decrease and you increase in him, dear Lord, that the word of God will come powerfully through him, dear Jesus, this evening. We thank you, dear Lord, as we sup together, dear Jesus, allowing your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, dear Lord. Help us to receive the word that's before us, dear Jesus. Chew on it this week, dear Lord, and share it with others. We thank you for your holy name and your presence in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to turn the fan on me this way. Let's see if that's right on me. Let's see. Yep, that's right where it needs to be. Good. We got that ready to go. And we got markers. And everybody's live.
We are.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ. We are. Well, Pastor Ben's ready. I'm still setting up. I got to take out my favorite tallit. You know tallit? That's Ixos Ramsos.
Yeah.
So, and then inside my tallit, have me a towel, and presto. We're ready to go. Wait a minute. Uno más. One more. Okay. You guys ready?
Amen.
I'm talking to you guys out there. All right. Praise God. We already prayed in, huh? I'm so used to me praying in now. It feels kind of funny. Yeah. And then have people out there. It feels funny, Pastor Ben.
I know.
Okay. We're going to get started in this Bible study tonight. First of all, I always have to thank my cards and my letters and Deborah. And then she's like, you still haven't learned how to say my last name. Otterbury. No, I'm just.
Otterburn.
Yeah, nice? Isn't that nice? That's a personal card.
That's personal.
I'm going to let you keep this one, Pastor Ben.
I was hoping you would.
This is really nice.
Thank you very much.
This is really a nice card.
I got my
card.
Own little collection going. Thank you very much.
Have a great Father's Day. See, that's awesome. Dear Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, you're both very special men who deserve a day full of enjoyment, contentment, and everything that makes you happy. Thank you both for standing on the Word of God and being a faithful watchman for the Lord. I do appreciate all you and his and this church has done for me and many like me. I watch all your videos and have you gifted men who I admire so much. Keep looking up for Jesus. I am is coming out. That was me jumping in. Jesus is going to be to break through the clouds, and we are going home. Until then, I will keep watching and waiting for the great day in his love, Deborah Otterburn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is nice. I'm going to let you keep this one, Ben. But, yeah, that's nice.
Just here.
Okay. And where are my glasses? Because I got to see. Barbara's back in the house.
Woo-hoo!
That's me. Oh, that is so, huh?
The green one. That
yeah, that's hers. And this one's from Susan in New Jersey. This is Jersey girl. Hey, family. That's Susan talking. She said, I have sent your video to a former client who moved to some part of Florida. love watching Pastor Sandy, 70 plus years old, can't find a church who teaches the truth about the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. That is just seems like to be the motto of of these times. It's like my church never talks about Jesus coming. It's like we're not allowed to talk about the wedding. Oh, I can keep this one. You're not allowed to talk about the wedding. You talk about the wedding, they kick you out. Now,
push the button, Pastor Sandy.
I am going to push the button. I wouldn't. Yeah, but these dogs are not barking. They're.
Well, they're doing the best they can. You got to push the button.
Now, you know. And you know what? I know that the big one is me.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me. That's what bothers me.
Oh, that's too funny.
See, some people got a good sense of humor. Who is this? Who sent this pastor there? Sister Karen? What's the last name? It looked like Blind. Then Brother Paul and Sister Karen in the, near the center. Oh, they're up in San Francisco Bay Area. Oh, they're funny. I'm
going
to get them back.
That's hilarious.
Hallelujah. That's funny. Okay. And then, this is Pastor Ben's tie.
Because
he's more comfortable with his masculinity.
No.
And then that's the one that Pastor Ben wants. I'm comfortable with my masculinity.
Watch. You go, boy.
I'm going to rock that.
You rock it here.
There you go. Okay. Let me. I'm going to give you your tie, Pastor Ben. I'm sorry y'all have to see our first argument. Anyway, give me my tie. I'm going to give you your tie.
Like I don't trust you.
All right. Now, this is the message for tonight because the Lord, when I was praying today, the Lord is like, the problem right now is that you guys are kind of like, just like what Pastor Ben said. Like, everybody's like, we want to go now. We want to go now. Are we there yet? 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 Shut up. And we gotta, this is a joyful time because we're in the season.
Yes.
We're in the right time. This time is not going to come around again. This is the time that Jesus has been talking about since Genesis. You understand? Yeah. Since Deuteronomy, when the first time when he says in the latter days or in the Lador HaAcharon, in the final or the terminal generation, these are the things that are going to happen. And so all of those things have happened. And I would like to look at the book of Hosea tonight and see what God showed us in Hosea, because God, it seems like in every book, he's directing all of us to the time of the 1900s, right? All the events he's talking about is the 1900s. Like in the Lador HaAcharon, this is going to happen, and the fig tree is going to happen, and everything is going to happen, but it's all going to be in that terminal generation, okay? And so I want us to look at this. We have a handout that we had, and this was what I don't know if I'm gonna be able to go through this. I'm gonna see where the Lord leads me. But this is what the Lord wanted me. I got it, Pastor Bill. This is what the Lord said, you guys, they've forgotten about all of the information. So the Lord is like, you guys have forgotten about all of the information. Why are we excited about it being 2020? That is what you have to ask yourself. What is so special about 2020 that should make the church joyful and happy, okay? Mm-hmm. And the fact that 120 is the judgment of everything in Scripture since Genesis, okay? And I don't know if you guys remember this study, but this is the study that should have everybody excited, okay? Because If Moses' judgment came at, when he was 120, and the flood came when it was 120, and Israel had three kings, and after, and they, and all three of them served 40, 40, and 40, and that was 120, then they went into captivity, and then, not to go back all the way to Eve, who Semech is 120, so the first original judgment starts in Genesis, and so all of this stuff, God is like, you guys have forgotten why the 120th year is so important, why 2020 is so important. Now, the fact that now that we're here, we had the fake pandemic, and now we have in the orchestrated riots, and you know, oh, I want you to kill a black guy, but you gotta, it's gotta be on TV because we gotta get the black people upset and we gotta get them mad. And then we got an, oh yeah, I paid for bricks to be at every place. So I mean, what kind of it just happens to be a riot that has bricks delivered to the riot spots where they're supposed to, that where they're
t- that's crazy,
where they're told to go. You understand? So it's like, piles of bricks in every major city.
Pallets.
When it gets started, someone would go over and take the cover off the bricks. So it's like, so this year is happening. And as I was reading Jasher, it was said God made things happen right before the flood in hopes that men would stop sinning and turn to God.
Yes.
And all of this that has happened has not made men stop sinning and turn to God. And so know what that means? It's just like it was in the days of Noah. Nothing's going to make people repent and get on the boat because we can't sin on the boat. You know what I mean? We can't do what we want. This is what. But later they came back to the boat and they said, hey, you got a rope? Could you, you know, it's raining and it doesn't look like it's going to stop. Can you throw us a rope? And Noah said, what? Aren't you the same people that said there was no God? You know, so I'm telling you, we're in this last time where the whole Bible talks about this time. Yeah. Okay. It talks about this time, the Ladur Ha'akaron, the terminal in the Hebrew, the final, the last generation, okay? And so, I want us to go to the book of Hosea, and we're going to start there. And the first part, I'm really just going to kind of browse over, because I want to get us to the meat of this, because you know, we got a lot of people that are well studied and they know all about Hosea and his wife Gomer and his two children and the whole thing about Israel and Gomer being Germany. We know all about that, right?
Yeah.
So the incredible thing about this is in the book of Hosea, when God is talking about this terminal generation, he tells you Israel is going to be punished in Hosea 1, right? He says Israel is going to be punished where? Gomer, okay? So now you got Germany, because the ancient name of Germany is Gomer, right?
Right.
And Gomer's children were who? Ashkenaz, which was what? Ashkenazi Jew. That's where they came back, right? So we have the proof that Gomer is the historical name for Germany. So in the book of Hosea, God is telling you where the people are going to be punished. Okay? And then he says, Lo Ruama, you're not going to have any mercy there. And Lo Ami, and you're not going to be my people there. And this is where, so the two children are no mercy and not my people. And so God is telling you, in Germany, this is where this punishment is going to happen. The fact that God could do that in the book of Hosea is telling you that when he speaks, things happen. Because Hosea is written hundreds of years before Hitler or Germany is ever a part of any equation, okay? So he writes in Hosea exactly where they're going to be and where they're going to come from, okay? Now, if you go to Hosea chapter 6, and this is what we want to read today. This is incredible. I like Hosea chapter 6. Okay, Hosea chapter 6 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces." This is after the Lo Ruama, Lo Ami, no mercy for you, and you're not my people, and you're in Germany. So it says, this is what the people are going to say. "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our womb. After 2 days," and that's not after, it's like the word in Hebrew, "in greatness. In greatness, on the second day, he will revive us." So he said in the second day, he's going to revive us. "On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence." You hear that? So they're saying on the third day, we're going to live in the presence of the Messiah. But he said on the second day, he's going to restore us. So this is God writing the Bible. So if God is writing the Bible, he's writing it according to what? His story. How much is a day?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. So after the birth of Christ, we count forward 1,000 years, right? So now we're in 1,000 years after, and that's the first day is over. Now the second day begins. So all the way from this 1,000 until you get to 2,000, you're still going to be. You're still going. I'm sorry. Because you can't start from. You got to start from here, from one to there. That's one day, right? That's one day. Okay. So now you go from 1,001 all the way to 2,000. And that would be your day two, okay? So now, if this is day one, is 1948 on day two? Yes. It fits within that framework, okay? So now he says, on the second day, you have torn us. You have ripped us apart. We've been to Germany. We've been punished. But on the second day, you're going to restore us. So on the second day, God restored them. He said, but on the third day, so now we would have to be past 2000. We'd have to be past 2001 and on, we would be on the third day. So we are early morning on the third day because it's 2020, right? So on the third day, what's going to happen? We're going to live in his presence.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're living on the third day, and we're going to live in the Jews are saying he's going to restore us on the second day, but on the third day, we're going to live in his presence. That means Jesus has to return, take rulership as king over the whole earth for the 1,000-year millennium, and now he's going to reign and rule over Israel and over everyone from Jerusalem, okay? So this prophecy is being taken care of in 1948, and then on the third day will be done now after the 2000th year on the third day. So God is trying to let us know you're living in the time that Israel is talking about. You're living on the third day. The third day is the day that you can expect that Christ is going to be reigning and ruling out of Jerusalem in a temple that he built, not the temple that the Antichrist built.
Right.
Someone said, "Oh, I don't think the Lord can come back because they haven't built the temple yet." No, God is not going to build the temple that's going to be standing in the book of in the tribulation. The Antichrist is going to build that temple. The temple that Christ is going to live in is the one that he's going to build when he returns. And we've been through that Bible study. So when people start asking the same question, it's like you got to refer them back, or else you got to spend an hour doing the whole same thing again. Mm-hmm. So we're not waiting for a temple to be built, okay? The temple, according to Psalms, won't be built until 2022. And in 2022, they'll say, come, let us, what a beautiful thing it is when they said,
let us go to the house of the Lord.
That is when that will happen. So the temple being built is no prerequisite to the rapture, okay? That happens after we're gone, okay? So in this scripture, he's talking about Germany, being punished in Germany. He's talking about coming back to God, okay, returning to God on the second day, 1948, and God did restore them on the second day. And now he's talking about now they're waiting to live in the presence of God. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 24 first. You in Jeremiah chapter 24? Okay. Let's start reading at verse 3. The Lord said, or the Lord asked me, this is Jeremiah, the Lord asked me, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good, but the poor ones are so bad they cannot be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these figs, these good figs, I regard the as good the exiles from Judah. So the fig trees are who? The Jewish people. He says, I regard as the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of Babylon. My eye will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not root them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with their whole heart. Okay. Who's the fig trees? Israel. Who's the figs?
Israel.
Does Christ also refer to the fig tree?
Yeah.
He talks about the fig tree generation. Did Christ just make that up when he got here, or was he referring back to a former scripture that Jeremiah talked about? So God is always talking about the same thing, and he's using the same metaphors. Adam and Eve, what did they put on to cover themselves? Fig leaves. So he said, this is a people that's going to try to cover themselves, cover their own sins. Okay? And they can't. They need me to do it. This is what Israel is right now. They're still trying to cover their own sins by going to the wall and keeping the law and worshiping on the Sabbath and doing all the things that they're supposed to do. But they have no temple. So since they have no temple, they have no way to sacrifice for their sins. So they're going to the wailing wall to pray. But we have to understand something. Israel is waiting here to be restored. And he says, God says, they will be returned to me with their whole heart. Has Israel returned to God with their whole heart yet? Yeah. No, it hasn't happened. But he says, these figs are the same figs that I kicked out of the land and went to Babylon. But they're going to come back into the land in 1948, okay? And that will be on the second day. But on the third day, what's he going to do? He's going to live in their sight, and they're going to have their whole heart turned toward God. When? After the tribulation. Okay, let's go to chapter 30. You in chapter 30? Okay. Listen to this. Chapter 30, verse 3. It says, "The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity to restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess, says the Lord." There, he says, these are the words of the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Oh, watch this. Cries of fear are heard. Terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every man with his hand on his stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob. This is Jacob's trouble. But he will be saved out of it. You hear that? So Israel is going to go into a tribulation time. And now he's saying, can a man have a child? Okay, but now you see every man, he's holding their stomach as if he's going through labor pain. Because this 7 years is considered the labor pains of Israel, or the labor that Israel is going to go through before they can give birth to their own children, which is the nation of Israel. Okay, so here we are in this scripture, and God is saying these things, and I got to reread it. It says, "The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave them. I gave their forefathers to possess." Okay, says the Lord. Okay, he brought them back in what year? 1948. Now watch this. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Look at that. And we'll get to the notes in a little while. Deuteronomy 30, verse 5. Now, you guys know this. If you don't know this, you are more than welcome to look it up online, or even go and count the chapters for yourself. But this scripture is the 5708 scripture of the Torah. It's the 5708 scripture of the Torah. 5708 is what? 1948. Okay, so now you have in this scripture, and what does he say? He will bring back to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. So God is even telling you the exact year he's going to do this. Okay, so God has been prophesying about an end times, okay? And this I don't understand about Christians. How can, well, I guess I can't understand. I take that back. You know why? Because I never went to a church my whole time growing up that anybody ever said anything about Israel being rebirthed.
Yeah.
And even though it was 70s or 80s, they had been rebirthed since 1948. Nobody, not one pastor ever mentioned it. Okay? As if Israel has nothing to do with prophecy. Or as if the church is supposed to be teaching something other than our being excited about God is in control of the world and that he is the one who is doing all this. Okay? So I can understand why it happens, but it shouldn't be that way right now. We should understand that Israel coming back to the land is a miracle. I watched Dave Hunt, a documentary on Dave Hunt today that Dave Hunt did. And he said, when the people were being killed in Germany, and when all of these Jews were dying, 6 million of them, they thought the scriptures talking about Israel returning to the land, their forefathers' home, must not going to come true. It's like there's no possible way that these people that are being killed, 6 million of them, and the rest of them, who knows where they are in the world, and to say that they're going, and to have a scripture that says, oh, don't worry, they're going to come back into their land. Okay? So now, when they see this happen, the whole Christian community is like, oh my God, the Bible's real. The Bible's Israel, the UN in 1947 just announced to the whole world that Israel can have their land back, that they're going back to the land. How is this possible? 3 years ago, they were still being killed. And then now they're headed back to the land. And then now they're back in the land, and he renamed it Israel. And then the whole world's going, okay, when God says something, maybe as Christians, we should get excited about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay? And this is why it's hard for me to get along with people. Because I'm excited about Jesus Christ's return.
Yeah.
I'm not ignoring scripture. I'm diving into it, and I love it, and I'm expecting. If you're not expecting, that's on you. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the same God that said, I'm going to read it, John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there. Where? Where's there?
Heaven.
Heaven. To prepare a place for you. And who is the you?
Me.
Born again believers. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and perlambano you. Perlambano means to take you as a friend or a companion. To be where? To be with me, that you also may be where I am.
Yes.
I take that serious. I'm waiting for the day. I understand that this is the same God that told Israel, you're going to come back into your land. But 6 million just died, and nobody knows where the rest of us are. And the Arabs are occupying Palestine. They've renamed it Palestine. No, the Romans renamed it Palestine in spite of the Jews. The Romans renamed it Philistine because of the Philistines were the enemies of Israel. When the Palestinians got there, Philistine in Arab is Palestine, so they renamed it Palestine. So they call it Palestine, but there's never any such thing as Palestine. Rome gave it that number, and then the Arabs gave it the name Palestine. So that place doesn't exist. That's always been Israel. That's always been Jerusalem. And God is the one that said he would take them out and that he would bring them back. And he does it in exact day and time that he says he's going to do it. So how is it that we are in this time and we don't understand that what we're living in is a reality? Okay? I don't know if everybody got notes, but I want to talk about some things. That's on my notes.
Janelle, send them out.
Okay. So all the people on the outside have the notes.
And a couple people here.
Okay, so let's go to the top of the notes. Okay. Worldwide judgment in 120 years, okay? Why would I make a Bible study that says worldwide judgment in 120 years? Why would I even do something like that? We're going to get to this because I believe that you forgot that the whole world is based on a 120-year judgment that started where? With Eve.
Yes.
It doesn't start when the flood happens. Of course, God tells Noah it'll be 120 years, but it doesn't start there. It starts with Hebrew letters in Genesis when Eve sins. That gives you the first 120 years.
Amen.
And so God is following the pattern of Eve, who brought the first world judgment upon the old world, and says, okay, when the flood happens, I'm going to bring a judgment on the whole world. And now from this point, every time there's going to be a judgment on the world, it's going to be in 120. So when Moses, when you die at 120, you're going to get your judgment. Mm-hmm. When Israel has what? Three kings, and they all serve 40 years apiece. After the last 40, which is 120, now you're going to have judgment. So it's always going to be the 120 year, and that is the time of judgment. We're living in the 120th year. So you don't have to keep saying, are we there yet? Yes, you're there. All you have to do is wait to arrive so you can enjoy yourself. But yes, we're there. We're there. We're at the 120 years. And you're in the summertime in the wheat harvest. So everybody should be like dancing in the living room every morning saying we're in our season. We're about to get out of here. Everyone should be doing that. Okay? If the church was raised right, but we weren't raised right. We were raised to concentrate on other things that have nothing to do with our salvation. And us meeting Jesus or the wedding plan, which is the base of the whole Bible, is the wedding. Did you hear that? The base of the whole Bible is the wedding.
Yes.
Every book, a Gentile's marrying a Jew is marrying a Gentile bride. Every book.
Yep.
There's a wedding going on. Every book. Esther coming into the castle on the third day. Every book. Ruth gets married in the wheat harvest. Same book. Joseph gets a Gentile bride and gets to live in the palace for 7 years while famine's going on the outside. Everything's about a wedding, right? So don't you think God's trying to tell us something? So everything is about this moment. And so how do you have a group of people who believe in Jesus and their whole day is focused on Jesus, that this time is not a joyful time? We should see other Christians and go, you getting ready to leave? You ready to leave? We almost out of here. God bless you. That's how it should be like that. We should have a brotherhood of like cloud party. See you there. Save me a dance. We should be doing like that. If we were raised right, but we weren't raised right. We were raised that church is about psychology.
Right.
And you becoming a better person.
Money comes.
Okay, let's look at this. It says, the top of this says, there are only two times in history that is mentioned in the Bible that judgment is to come upon the whole earth. So the Bible only mentions it twice. Okay? The first time the Bible mentions a judgment that's going to come on the whole earth is Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And this is the word that he uses. He says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Okay? So the word righteous and generation never appear in the same sentence in the whole Bible. Except two places. In Genesis, when he's talking to Noah, and in Psalms, which is the count of the last 120 years, in Psalms 14, when the first world war is about to happen. Okay? So it says this in Psalms 14. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. The generation of the righteous went up in the ark, and the generation of the righteous is waiting to go up in the ark, and that's the last 120 years. And so we're here. And so we should be excited, but we've been trained wrong. Okay? We've been trained wrong. We haven't been taught to look for the coming of the Lord. We haven't been taught that. And I don't care if it didn't come last year or if it didn't come. It should be like the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. You know what the nation of Israel did for all the time that they weren't in the land? They stood and they said, next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And they did that year after year after year after year after year. 6 years in the Holocaust, they still came together on Shabbat. Next year in Jerusalem, year after year, because they were focused on what? God's promise that we're going back. I could see them in 1945 before the armies came and rescued them in the camps about to be burned saying, next year in Jerusalem. Because
yes.
They were trained right. You
yes.
understand? To look forward to the prophecy of God.
Yes.
We're going home, okay?
Amen.
And when it finally happened, the day was a day of rejoicing in Israel. Okay.
Amen.
Now, it says, both will begin during the 120 years, okay? Noah started building the ark when he was 480 years old. I can't believe I lost a friend. Because he's like, there's no way it took him 120 years to build an ark. And I'm like, why do you want to argue with me over that? Who cares? We're going home.
Amen.
So it says, Noah started building the ark when he was 480 years old. Okay? The Bible tells us in Hebrew 11, verse 7, that Noah moved with fear by faith, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The construction of the ark took place, what? During the 120 year period, okay? Now, along with, okay, it says, now check this out. Okay, I just want to do this real fast. I want to make sure, okay, now watch this. Let's go to Genesis. I believe it's Genesis chapter 5.
15.
I got 15 minutes? I wouldn't waste time on this if I have 15 minutes. Okay, I'm going to do this fast then. Because we have to go over this booklet. Because there's so much that God was showing you in this booklet that we should really say, okay, God, you outdid yourself on this one. I'm packing my bags. Genesis chapter 5. What does it say, Genesis chapter 5? The beginning of Genesis chapter 5. Watch this. Where's the Noah part? It says, Noah was 500 years old when he gave birth to his three sons. Where's that scripture at?
500.
Huh? Is it verse 32? Okay. So if it's in verse 32 that Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? In verse 6, it says, the Lord told Noah that the time they had left was 120 years, right? So, if God tells Noah, you have 120 years till the flood, and Noah turns 600 when the flood happens, do you still assume that God told him to build the ark when he was 500? He must have told him 20 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
So, because he's telling him they have 120 years. And so now, since it says, oh, it was 500 when this is just a genealogy. This is not telling you what God told Noah. What God told Noah was this.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, that he, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, if he tells Noah that, and the flood happens when Noah is 600, then that means he must have told him when he was 480. Yeah. Now, we can go to what book is it that Jasher actually tells you it's 480 years. Yeah. But I shouldn't have to do that
right. And
lose a friend over this. That say, oh, you're a false prophet. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to go through that. You understand? As Christians, it's like we're looking for something to argue with.
Right.
The kingdom of God is not against, it's not about conflict. It's about unity and being together. Okay? So ask me the question, but don't. I can't believe Pastor Ben has to correct your false teaching. He must not know either, but I'm going to educate you all. No, that's what he wrote in the thing. Threw you in there. God, like, seems like he would have helped me. Thank you for letting me know. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. I can't believe time went that fast.
Having a good time?
It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited for the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, 8 souls, were saved by water. You got that? Okay. So, Noah waited the 120 years, and he says few were saved, only 8 souls. Noah and his 7, right? Jesus and his 7 churches, right? It says Noah is a type of Christ, the great ark builder who takes the 7 churches and his spirit out of the world. 8, okay? Now, Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with somebody say that word. Surfeiting. Surfeiting. I'm going to have to look that up. Drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day comes upon you unaware. So he says what? Take heed to yourself, right? Lest at any time you be overtaken, right? Now it says, for as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole world. That means the whole world is going to feel this judgment. Okay? Watch therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and be able to stand before the Son of Man. So God is telling us to watch for the day and be careful that you don't get sucked into earthly life. You understand? Because Satan knows what you like. And he can get you sucked into many things, okay? Even as a pastor, I have to make sure that I take days off and I'm not consumed with other things or answering other people's questions. It's like, God's like, when did I give you the job that your job's so important that you don't have no time to spend with me? I've never given you a job like that. So I've got to take some days and say, this is just for me and Jesus day. Okay, this is not for me and you. I'm sorry I'm not answering questions today. This is Jesus day. This is the day I'm going to spend with my Lord. Okay, we have to have days that we say, I've got to spend time with God, or else busy stuff will consume you. You'll go to work, you come home, you'll cook, you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll watch your favorite TV show, you'll go to bed, and then you'll get up the next day and you'll say, I didn't read yesterday. But you'll go to work, you'll do that, you'll come back, and then you'll watch your favorite TV, and you go to bed, and then before you know it, Satan's watching and he's going, he ain't ate in a week. You haven't ate any spiritual food in a week. Let me watch her and see how long this thing goes, because if she gets weak enough, I'm moving in, right? So we have to be careful.
Now, and that's what the Lord is saying. Be careful and watch so that you're ready. Where are we at, Pastor Ben?
Five
minutes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? It's going to be the same way. We'll go over that tomorrow. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. We read that already. He tells him to go into the ark. I found you righteous in this generation. What generation? So God considered that the generation of 120 was a generation. He said this, because he only uses it twice, and there's only 220 generations. There's us, and there's Noah's generation. Okay? And so we got to be ready. Now, Numbers. The Lord's anger burnt against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight were gone. So God considered the generation of the wandering a 40-year generation. Okay? So that means God is setting when the generation is. Okay? Now, Jesus says in this, he says, truly, I tell you, this all this will come upon this generation. Now he tells them, that's in 23, because he tells them that the temple's going to be destroyed in their generation. And he tells them also, you're going to spend a generation in Babylon, 70 years. And in 70 years, they came out. So God has a 40-year generation. God has a 70-year generation. And God has a 120-year generation. So God is the one who picks the time, and he picks when it starts and when it ends. Okay? So how do we know that God picked the 1900s to begin counting the last 120 years? Because Psalms tells you, or less, unless... We're going to have to do this tomorrow, Pastor Ben. Because I'm getting... We're going to have to do part two tomorrow. Because we're going to go through the 1900s. Because... we have to see that God has counted this time up to the present time. And I still think it's miraculous that Psalms 120 starts off with, deliver us from lies. It prophesies in Psalms 47, the UN giving the announcing Israel's going to get the land back in 1947, Psalms 47. 48, it renounces Israel moving back into the land. Psalms 91, it talks about protecting Israel, and even though their enemies are trying to destroy them, that no one will be able to touch them in Psalms 91. And the Scud missiles, remember that? Desert Storm, it was shooting, and none of the bombs hit them. And it was 91. So it's like, God is like, I'm prophesying every year because I'm counting this year because it's going to end for the church in the 120th. So we're in the generation. We're in the season. But do I have to be the only one excited? Okay, because I want to be able to be in this with other believers who are ready to go and be with Christ. Okay. No one has lived forever on this earth. Everyone that has had a death experience always tells us there's something on the other side. Daniel said, hell's real, right? Because he wasn't living very good when he died. Other people have died and said, heaven is real. You understand? So we have to understand something. What the Bible has told us, people are seeing when they have these near-death experiences. God tells us that he calls Enoch to be taken out of the earth before he died, and Elijah before he died. So it's like we're not dealing with fairy tales here. All of it sounds very strange, but we're not dealing with fairy tales here, because the same God that's prophesying is making things come true despite the odds. No matter what it seems like, still what God says comes true. Okay? Otherwise, you don't have a chip to put in your hand and your forehead. But all of a sudden, nobody talking about that in the 50s.
Right.
But now,
We ain't just talking about it. We're talking about how can we avoid it? We like, how, okay, if they started tomorrow, how can I escape not taking the chip? Because it's already here, right? Who told you about it in 90 AD when he wrote Revelation? God. So when are we going to start believing him? We're leaving. Rather you want to be joyful with me or not, I'm going to still be the goofy guy saying, we're getting out of here. I ain't got time for that. Okay? So we're going to finish this study tomorrow because we got to go back to Genesis, to Eve, to see why God has chosen the 120th year to be the time of judgment. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That boy can talk. He must be talking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.